So today I want the title of what I'm going to be speaking about is United We Stand, But Divided We'll Fall. United We'll Stand, But Divided We'll Fall. And so I had to look up what's the definition of unity in the Bible. And so I'm going to read it so I don't get it wrong. Biblical unity is the state of oneness and shared heart, mind, and purpose among believers. It reflects the very nature of God and is both a gift from the Holy Spirit and a responsibility of the church to maintain. If you didn't get that, no. Biblical unity is the state of oneness, a shared heart, a mind and purpose among believers. It reflects the very nature of God and is both a gift from the Holy Spirit and a responsibility of the church to maintain. Number one, unity is our pattern. Unity is our pattern. John 17 and 11, Jesus speaking to the Father, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Unity is our pattern. Unity is our pattern. And this morning, I'm not saying uniform is our pattern. I'm saying unity is our pattern. Uniform is when we all look the same and dress the same, and like school boys and girls. And I remember one of the biggest things that I wanted to rebel against when I was at school was that uniform. I took my tie off at the first opportunity. Open my shirt because I had such a big chest. But Jesus prays and he says, make them one as we are one. He's asking the Father, you know, they're all called in Matthew 6, they call it the Lord's Prayer. But actually, that was the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. Make them one as you and I are one. Unity reflects the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It reflects the Trinity. Unity, as I've said, is not uniformity. It's not merely external agreement. When Bryden plays this song, we jump this way. No, I enjoyed watching the people go the wrong way. And often when we are driving somewhere, Patty will say, turn left. Did you notice a mistake? And I'll say to her, left is the one with the watch on. Turn left. The truth is, unity is not optional. It's a divine design. It's a divine design. He designed it. Number two, unity is our pursuit. Unity is our pursuit. Ephesians 4, and starting in verse 3, makes every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, and yes, you've been called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. If you don't see oneness in that sentence. Unity is built on one faith, one Lord, one Spirit, one God. One. O-N-E. The truth is unity takes effort, guys. Nada spoke about obedience, taking effort. For me, those are actually nouns, but I like them to be verbs. It takes effort. It moves. You move towards. You don't move away. It takes effort. You know what? To come and worship at the front here, it takes effort. I used to jump a lot more, but I've got a bit older. And so if I jump too much when I go home after this meeting, my back is quite sore because I'm old. And I don't run anymore like Dan. I just walk with the dogs. And I've got a Maltese poodle, so it walks slowly. I actually want to put my watch around her chest because she does four steps to my one. Number three, unity brings power. I want to walk in the power of God. I want to walk in the blessing of God. Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Oneness. Unity, not uniformity. We live as one. When God's people live together in unity, it's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard. Dan, you are lucky that I didn't have enough oil to get you to come and stand here. And I was going to pour it down your head and watch what it did. Actually, I'd have rather called Richard. And Fernando. I think they would have done great, yeah. But the only thing is, it wouldn't have reached the end of the beard. It would have been all absorbed by the time. And maybe that's a good idea. That as that oil runs overhead, we're taking it in. We're not letting it run over. It is like the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing. There the Lord commands his blessing. Don't you want to live in a place of having God command his blessing over you? When brethren, when brothers and sisters, even more so, live in unity, God commands his blessing. Oil, the anointing and the dew. Refreshing, flow where there is unity. Guys, I hope you're hearing something. It's about unity, togetherness, oneness. In Josh Jen, where I've been for a couple of years now, one of our war cries has been one heart, one mind, one purpose, unity. Because we know that where there is unity, God commands his blessing. And you should be excited about that fact because you actually are part of Josh Jen, even though you're a bit further out of Cape Town. You are part of what we are doing. And if you're visiting for the first time today, you don't realize this. Josh Jen is a group of churches that meet together in different places. I can't keep up with the numbers anymore. They've actually stopped giving the numbers. I know it's between 58 and 60 different congregations. God is doing something, and it's through unity. God is commanding his blessing on the life of what we are doing as Josh Jen. Sorry, if you're not part of Josh Jen, hopefully God is doing the same in your where you are as what he's doing here. And so this morning, I want to say to you that if you have anything that breaks down unity, you need to deal with it. Because you could be stopping what God wants to do right here, right now. The truth is, unity unlocks God's power and presence, blessing and fruitfulness. Unity is broken by division. They say a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. A chain is only as strong as its weakest links. And the cyclists here know that. There's that link that joins the chain together. If it's not well maintained, it becomes the weakest link. And eventually you can't pedal anymore. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and there are no divisions among you, that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Guys, you need to talk to each other and be saying, so what are you feeling God is doing? And if it's different, you need to say, well, let's pray about that. Let's get God to knit our hearts together. Let's take this to the eldership and or the deacons or the comm leaders. Let's go to the leaders and ask them, why are we feeling different? God has put leadership here for a reason. Not to dominate you and control you, but to bring freedom in your life. That you guys can say, yes, this is what God wants us to do. The devil divides, but God unifies. The devil divides, but God unifies. Unity is both a gift to receive and a responsibility to protect. When there's the opportunity for disunity to come in, we need to protect it. We need to guard it. We can't look to the person next to us. We have to do it. Guard it, pursue it, enjoy it. The truth is, unity is God's pattern, our purpose, and His power. There are some barriers to unity. I'm going to shoot through these because I'm hoping that these are not a part of your life. But if they are, I'm asking you to address them, to change them, to correct them, to bring alignment into the river. Let's go together. The word says that on the river banks there are trees and the leaves are the healing to the nations. Guys, one of our purposes of Josh Jen and 412 that Josh Jen is a part of is to see disciples from every nation discipled, baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. So the first one, self-centeredness. You join a church for what you can get, not what you can give. Remember I spoke about that, about maturity? A lot of you guys have had your matric dance or whatever you call it. What do you call it? Matric dance, even though it's grade 12. So it's not a grade 12 dance, it's a matric dance. It was a matric dance when I was at school. Now it's a grade 12 dance. But imagine if you were getting ready, in a hurry, to go to the matric dance and the Porsche pulls up. I told him, you know what a Porsche, where did it get its name from? It's to Porsche it uphill and roll it downhill. But anyway, imagine if he jumped into the Porsche and some stuff squirted out of his nappy. Now, you see, when you go to the matric dance, you're not wearing a nappy anymore because you have matured. You're not in that place of infancy anymore. And we need to be those. James 4 and verses 1 and 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. How do you kill? With words. That saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me, is very incorrect biblically. Words will harm you. Words you speak will harm others. So you do not have because you do not ask God. Number two, unresolved issues. Unresolved issues in a community of believers, as you are, will destroy unity. Things that are unresolved. On Wednesday night, we broke bread together and we took a look at breaking bread where Paul writes and he says, your meetings have done more harm than good. Not you guys, Corinthian church. We don't want that. And he goes on to speak about unresolved issues, bitterness and offenses that are not dealt with. And I'm trusting, I know there was definitely some offenses that were resolved on Wednesday night. Hebrews 12 and verses 14 and 15, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness to one will see, without holiness no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I've been walking my dogs quite a bit, and it's really cool in George to walk your dogs. Got such wide verges and cycle tracks where when I'm walking my dog, they have to go around me onto the grass because I'm quite an intimidating person. But yeah, there's a house where the tree is busy pushing over the wall. That's not the thing I'm scared of. There is a huge Rhodesian Ridgeback dog on the other side of that fence. And I'm thinking every time I walk past you, this tree has pushed the fence over more, and this dog is going to get over the fence, and I'm going to have to hurt him. I got my stick, I got my pepper spray, I got my knife, I've got everything, and I got my Maltese poodle. Best of all. Unresolved issues. Don't let the Rhodesian Ridgeback get you. Because when you are living in a place of unresolved, your wall is falling down that protects you. Gossip and slander. Wow. Biggest problem in the church, I reckon. Biggest problem in the church. And destroying trust and fellowship. Disaffection towards leaders. Oh, man, couldn't they do it better? I could do it better. I had a young guy who was on eldership with me, and I remember at the beginning of the year, they said, go to anyone that you've got a problem with and speak to them. So this young guy arrives at my cell. I can't believe it. He's my elder. He says to me, Roland, I've come to repent. I said, why? He says, I've thought so many times I can do this better than you. I stood shocked. But it no longer was an unresolved issue. It was something that we could pray together and resolve it. Go and read about Miriam and Aaron in Numbers 12. They get leprosy and all sorts of stuff because they speak against Moses, the one that God has chosen to lead them. And guys, it's like that in a church, especially Josh Jen. There are checks and balances and things put in place so that leaders are genuine leaders. They're authentic leaders. They're not leaders that are self-made, self-appointed. They are leaders that people can trust. Steve phoned me the other day. I was out having coffee with someone, and he said, do you mind giving me the keys for the house? I've got a podcast that I need to do. But I was quite happy to give him the key. I trusted him. I do trust them. I trust these leaders. The guys that I've spent time with, the comm leaders, the deacons, trust them. They are trustworthy. And I wouldn't stand here and say that if I didn't believe it. Trust them. But at the same time, leaders, their trust is first in Jesus, then in you. Be aware of that. Number four, lack of church discipline. Guys, we often tolerate too much sin in the life of the church. The Bible's very clear. Titus 3 and verses 9 to 10. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law. Do you know what the word says about the law in Romans? It says the law is there to provoke you to sin. The law is there to provoke you to sin. It's there to bring the worst out in you. God has given you grace that you're able to do and overcome everything that faces you. You have to appropriate it, but in your life. Because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. Grace, not the first time, the second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. And that takes a body to put that discipline into place. No use the elders calling someone to the front. They say, we're putting you out the church. When someone gets put out the church, it's like the Mormons when they shun somebody. That body needs to shun them, because in that place of being put out, I've seen numerous people come back to the Lord in a wonderful way as they have repented. So just to finish off, importance of unity. It reflects the Trinity. It's the witness to the world. They will see your love by your love one for another. Strength in diversity. Many members, but one body. We can't all be mouths. We can't all be kidneys. We can't all be feet, toes, teeth. Some of you have been pulled out a few teeth. As you get older, I won't go there. There's strength in diversity. Spiritual maturity. Unity builds to the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. So I'm going to end there, but I've got a few questions that I want to ask you. Acts 2:38 says, submit. Repent and submit. What's wrong? Is it wrong or right? Repent, submit, and repent. What is it, Dan? Oh, he's failing today. Good thing I've got my Bible here at my fingertips. I don't want to get it wrong because it's on the tape. I know it is definitely Acts 2:38. Okay, wife. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, not some other name. Hey, I'm sorry, man. No, repent. Turn away from what you're facing. Turn towards God. Turn away from what you've, the idol that you have in your life, and turn towards God. Receive the forgiveness of your sins. I've just seen in what Patty has been doing with some of the guys here, TRP. I said you should change it to TARP. Truth and Reconciliation Prayer. I like TRAP. 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 And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're sitting here today, it's going to be difficult for you to be in unity with someone that is full of the Holy Spirit. Because you're not going to follow the same path that the Holy Spirit is taking them on. Let me tell you, our walk with God is so different. So, I can't even say a word for it. I can tell you Yolandi's daughter's name, and that's what it is. It's a gift from God. I so enjoyed being with that family the other day. Man, there's so much laughter and there's so much fun. There's just the joy of the Lord is their strength. The promise is for you. That's what I call the Holy Spirit. He's my promise. He's my promise. God has promised him. If you'll open your heart and receive him, you receive the promise that God has given you. For all whom the Lord will call. So I wonder if you could just bow your heads this morning, and maybe the worship group could quickly move up to you.